So Johnson has something in common with all of the other presidents during the Cold War, and that's containment. Absolutely. But what Johnson has is unique to Johnson is the height of the Vietnam conflict. The Vietnam conflict, we'll do more about this later, does not start under Johnson. It does not end under Johnson, but he is the president that most Americans associate most with the Vietnam War, because it's under Johnson that two things happen. Number one, that it becomes highly escalated, and that's a phrase that you should associate with the Vietnam conflict. So ask a history professor sometime. I'm going to give you a word. And now, historically, where do you plug that in? And just try it. Escalate. And I'll bet that your history professor says, well, you know, that's the Vietnam War. I'm thinking of Johnson and the Vietnam War. Yeah, I mean, that's just the term that is attached to that, to Johnson and Johnson's action with regard to the Vietnam War. The other thing about Vietnam that is special with Johnson is it's under Johnson that the Vietnam War begins to divide the American public. So there's growing resistance to the Vietnam War as Johnson enters the White House. Remember that the most popular wars are those that have two characteristics. They're short and they're a victory. I mean, who doesn't like those? Like, for example, the Spanish-American War. The most popular war in American history. 4 months, and it was over the day it started. It was a solid victory, and the statistics are so one-sided, it's almost unbelievable. So unless you're a pacifist, and I'm not saying this in a... I don't mean to say this in a sarcastic or disrespectful way. Unless you're a pacifist, then... You know, you're all for the how the Spanish-American War transpired. The opposite of that, then, would be, well, a war that goes on and on and on without any apparent progress towards victory, and the deaths keep piling up. And that was the Vietnam War. So there comes a point, think of Nixon, think of Lincoln, and the Civil War. Remember the election of 1864. So Lincoln's seeking re-election, but there's plenty of Northerners that are unhappy with the way this war is going. Lincoln, geez, we've been at this now for 3.5 years. Are we going to have victory or not? And then when news reaches the North about the success of Sherman's march through Georgia, then it's clear that Northern victory is just, you know, on the horizon. All right, so the Vietnam War is becoming increasingly unpopular, and it's going to hit the wall in the Johnson administration. The Gulf of Tonkin Resolution. This comes about, this is an act by Congress, which will grant Johnson expanded powers to deal with the Vietnam conflict. We've had several moments where Congress has granted presidents extended powers. Congress did that with FDR to deal with the Great Depression, for example. It comes about because of an incident in the Tonkin Gulf, U.S. warship, USS Maddox, was fired upon by the North Vietnamese in August of 1964. Or so we were led to believe. As time goes on, it seems as though that attack was, well, could hardly be called an attack. Certainly not to the degree that the American public was led to believe. At any rate, The bottom line is Johnson will use his expanded powers to escalate the war. I mean, he can use his expanded powers the other direction as well, but he chooses to escalate the war. Keep in mind that Johnson is committed to the containment policy. That's not easy to abandon. That would not be easy for any president to abandon during the Cold War. In fact, as Johnson begins his actions, polls indicated that the American public favored our involvement in Vietnam. But then as the months go on and things aren't going very well, then the American public makes that shift. So for Johnson to have exited Vietnam early would have not been a popular move with the American public. So understand that. All right. And his response then was what he called Operation Rolling Thunder. And it was just a massive bombing of North Vietnam. Communist North Vietnam invading South Vietnam. And America, of course, then supports South Vietnam. The Tet Offensive occurred in January of 1968. Tet is the Vietnamese New Year. So the Viet Cong will launch a massive surprise offensive on South Vietnam. And initially, it is very successful. The North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong reach places in South Vietnam that Americans were being told were safe. I mean, you might as well be in South Dakota. You're safe. We have it under control. Well, apparently not. I mean, seeing is believing, right? So for the American public, that was a light bulb moment for two reasons. One, we're being told that our government has things under control. Apparently not. Apparently we're being lied to. And if we're not being lied to, it means that our government, and in support of the military forces, is hugely inefficient, inept. So that could be it as well. Turns out it's a little bit of both. And before I go any further, let me say one thing about this as I talk about Vietnam, you know what I think about war. If there's one, you know, this is one of the little games I play with myself as a history guy. If I could take Garrity and just wave the magic wand and have, you know, 14 pages disappear and history just sort of fill in like it just, you know, never happened, what would I choose? Well, you know, there's a half a dozen that we could probably all agree on, half a dozen events or moments. For me, this would be the one. I would take Vietnam conflict out of U.S. history. So that's how much I despise war, and then especially Vietnam. At the same time, I have utmost respect for our servicemen and, you know, nowadays servicewomen. My dad was in the Army for 27 years, and those people, and you're connected with a lot of them, those are the people who do stuff or are willing to do stuff so that, you know, so that I can sit around and watch Oregon State football games and, you know, eat pretzels and be happy, right? Okay. What the errors in Vietnam were not because of the fighting forces. So remember that the rest of today and tomorrow and Friday when I'm talking about Vietnam. Okay, so it's the Tet Offensive is a light bulb moment, and so So if we had to pick, you know, a minute where the American public makes the switch from support of the war to thinking that we need to get out of there, that would be it. And then there's one of the things that makes war such a terrible thing is that it affects others who don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, the civilian faction. We visited that just, a couple weeks ago with the atomic bomb. And here we go again. The My Lai Massacre. This would not be the only incident such as this, but it's the big one. So in March of 68, a village of 500 an American patrol came upon this village. This village was, and as the soldiers came on to these villages, then the order would be, secure the perimeter, which means soldiers around, and then, you know, they're going to search the village for Viet Cong, for the enemy, which, understand, this is one of the things that makes the Vietnam War so difficult to understand and so difficult to evaluate, because I can tell I'm going to run out of time, because the enemy was sometimes hard to distinguish. And here's an example. So imagine, now, here you are, you come into this village, and so you secure the perimeter, and then your captain says, you know, take a break, 15 minutes. And so, okay, so there's apparently no enemy in the village, and take a break. And so you and your couple buddies, you're sitting around, and you just, you know how that is, you're just staring around at a thousand things, but at the same time at nothing, right? And you catch the eye of some kids playing, and I mean, that's kind of universal, right? I mean, I know this is, you've heard this before, and, you know, the smile is the universal language, right? Well, another thing that's kind of universal is kids, you know, this little kids just goofing around, just being kids. You know, everybody smiles at that, right? And here they are, and you know, they're running around, and as one of them, you know, runs by, you know, they drop something, and well, that's a grenade. And so 3 seconds after that, after this explosion, you're still around somehow, but the three buddies you were sitting with aren't. So, how about the next village you come to in 2 weeks later? Same thing. And you see those kids playing around. Are you going to view them any differently? Half of you are, and half of you aren't. And probably you don't know the answer unless you were right there. And so that's what many of the servicemen had to deal with. Because it's war. All right. So these American servicemen come into this village, My Lai. They find no enemy, but under the command of Lieutenant Callie, they will herd villagers into a nearby gully, children and women, the elderly, and they will execute them. And that's known as the My Lai Massacre. That news was not immediately made available to the public. It's going to be a year or two later. Well, maybe not a year or two, a month later. It's going to be into 69 or 70. And so that increases America's frustration with the war. And it also leads to something that I'll get into another time, the way that the American public views some of the soldiers who fought in Vietnam. It's It's a complicated thing. So there is, oh, I'll have time for this. So when we do Vietnam, I'll get it Friday. That's kind of our target for Friday. I'll mention this again, but you know, I'll be able to go through it much quicker. But there is a thing or two that I want to add onto the My Lai massacre. The other two, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, the Tet Offensive, I think I've done with those. All right. So here's the bright spot. I guess, you know, I've said in history, nothing is an absolute. And so even with this terrible event, there's a bright spot. I mean, so as the executions are occurring, an American helicopter flies over with three American GIs and just flies randomly, just, you know, and look down and went, hey, circle back over there. So they circle back. Right? And what? What's going on? Guess what? That helicopter lands in that area. These three soldiers, Hugh Thompson and his two buddies, get out of the helicopter. They stand between the American soldiers under Lieutenant Calley and the villagers who are still alive. And they say, no more. No more. That was a hugely courageous act because they could have been easily shot and left with those villagers, those My Lai villagers. Apparently, they saw, when they looked down on the villagers, guess what? They rose above the tragedy of war. They didn't see Vietnamese. They saw people. And they knew that that shouldn't be happening to people, even in a war situation. So they created an act of huge courage and humanity. Do you realize how easily it could have been just to kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, the way it goes, that's war, and just keep on flying. And but they didn't. So I feel sort of silly saying this. It's really one of my favorite stories in history, even though it's such tragedy to get there. But then it does show just huge humanity and a defeat of war, of the concept of war, by three guys. All right. So I'll see some of you a little bit later, and some of you at different times, right? We're all over the place. Okay.